Turn with me to Psalm 139, and we're going to read in Psalm 139, verse 1 through 18 together. Psalm 139, verse 1 through 18, it says, O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord. You're going before me, and you go before me, and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you're there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the furthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in the darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body, and you knit me together in my mother's wombs. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Verse 17, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand, and when I wake up, you are still with me. Over the past 3 weeks, we've been talking about what we know about ourselves, what I know about me, and what you know about me, and what I know about me that you don't know, and what you know about me that I don't know. We've talked about the open area of our life. We've talked that the community side. We talked about the blind spots, the things that others see in us that we don't see, and that's why we need other people. Last week, we talked about the facade, the things about me that I don't want anybody to know, that I'm trying to hide and I'm trying to cover up. Today, I want to talk about something similar to the blind spots, but I want to talk about the things that only God knows about you. That fourth area of the Johari window, that bottom corner, is the not known to me and not known to others. So it has to be known to somebody, something maybe. And this is where I believe God comes in. We've talked about how God said it's not good for man to be alone, and that we should kind of live naked, in a sense. We should live emotionally and mentally exposed to the people around us. And I think there's a large part of our identity that can only be found when we start pursuing God, period. There's a large part of us that's unknown to me, but we begin to find ourselves when we find God. And I know that's a bold statement, but I want to look at it scripturally today, that when you find God, then you'll begin to find yourself. And then as we grow closer to God, we begin to understand His will for our life. A lot of times you hear me say, you know, hey, you should live out God's will. God has a purpose for your life. He has a plan for your life. Ephesians 2:10, that He set up all these good works for us a long time ago. How then do we find those? How then do we figure those things out? Well, I think as we grow closer to God, then we're going to understand His will for our life. And so, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to put in a peppermint because I've been sick all week and I might not make it through. And I may have to spit it out, and so on the podcast they won't see it, but you guys just don't get grossed out and make a big ooh sound if I have to spit my peppermint out. As we grow closer to God, then we understand His will for our life. Romans 11, verse 33 through 36 says that, how great are God's riches in wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand His decisions and His ways. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give Him advice, and who has given Him so much that He needs to pay them back? For everything comes from Him and exists by His power, and it is intended for His glory. All glory to Him forever. So as we grow closer to God, we begin to understand the will of God, and we understand that He is the source of knowledge, He is the source of power, He is the source of wisdom, He is the source of riches, and everything comes from Him, everything exists by His power, everything exists and is intended for His glory. And this is what we understand is our will, as His will for our life. And there's things about you that only God knows. There's things about you, and you say, man, how could that possibly be? I mean, that sounds like a crazy statement, right? That there's things about me that only God knows. And there's things about that. Psalm 139, going back to verse 13 through 15, it says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. There's things about you that only God knows because He put you together, but then He only reveals those things as we grow closer to Him. There's things about God, there's things that God wants us to know, but He'll never reveal those things to us until we start growing closer to Him. Verse 16 of Psalm 139 says that you saw me before I was born, and every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. See, God created you perfectly. He knit you together perfectly. And He created you so that you could live out His purpose for your life, but, and here's the big but, He's not a controlling God. You see, He's a God of free will. He's a God of choice. He's not a controlling God. He set this thing up beautifully and then created you perfectly for it. I mean, He put you on the right track and positioned you in the right spot, but He's not a controlling God. He's not working us around the game board of life. He's not picking us up when we get off track. He is a God of free will. He is a God of choice, and it's His work to save us. It's His work to craft the plan for our life, but then it's our part then to grow closer to Him so that we can understand His intentions. Many people, I think, they were going to miss His purpose, and here's why. Because they choose not to pursue. When we don't pursue God, we'll never understand the purpose of God. And you just can't understand the inner workings of something until you've been part of it, right? I have two good friends. I don't like to embarrass people, so I won't use last names. I'll just say Pastor Mike and Worship Leader Tyler. And then that way, like, they can remain anonymous. but we go to eat a lot. We get to spend a lot of time together, and we go to eat a lot because that's what we do. That's the only thing Baptist really about us is we eat a lot. And when we go to restaurants and we sit down, when the waitress comes up, I can order for both of them. I don't care where we go. Take me to a 5-star gourmet restaurant. I can order for Mike and I can order for Tyler. Mike is always going to get chicken tenders. If I'm wrong, say I'm wrong. That's right. I'm right. Tyler is going to get a hamburger plain. And he wants to put his own condiment. Just bring everything on the side and I'll place them the way that I want them. I don't care. Am I wrong? That's right, I'm not wrong. I'm wrong a lot, but not on this. We've been to hundreds, it seems, of different places, and not just in Greensboro, but all over. And I can tell you that I know what they're going to eat. There is no exploration in mind. And what cracks me up is I'll watch Mike read the menu. Tyler just doesn't try to hide it. He just sits down. He's never been there before. He doesn't need a menu. You got a hamburger? That's what I'll get. Mike tries to read the menu, and he'll name stuff. He's like, well, look at this. This looks good. Maybe this will be, and I'm like, and the waitress will say, and what can I get for you, sir? And before he can even say it, I'll say, chicken tenders. And he's like, yeah, I'll just go with the chicken tenders. Because for whatever reason, that's just what they get. How can you know if the restaurant's good if you only have ordered one thing? I don't trust people that say, man, you got to go try such and such restaurant. It's awesome. Especially if I know that all they've ever had is like something off the kids' menu, right? Like, I'm not trusting you unless you can tell me. Unless you can tell me. He gets to preach in a couple weeks. He gets to get all the revenge he wants later. Unless you can tell me what you've had, I don't want to know that you think the restaurant's good. How can you know the inner workings of a company if you've never even been there? How can you know what goes on behind the scenes of company doors if you've never actually spent time as the CEO or with the CEO? How can you tell me that you know somebody personally and intimately if you don't spend time with them? How do you get to know someone's inner secrets and inner thoughts? How do you get to know how people react and respond in certain situations? It's by spending time with them. It's by getting to know. It's by getting close to them. And so then tell me how then, if we understand it on a human level, how then can you intimately know the details of God without pressing hard into Him and getting to know the author of the plan? And once we know the author of the plan, then we can see the next step. And God has things for us that He wants to reveal. There's things about you that only God knows, and He's not trying to keep them from us. He's just waiting for us to press in and to grow closer to Him so that He can reveal His next steps. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 through 7 says, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ Himself. Look at verse 3. It says, In him lies hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Isn't that a great verse? Isn't that great wording to people with colorful imaginations like me? Within Him lies all the great treasures, all the great treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In verse 6, then jump to verse 6, Colossians 2. It says, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him. Let your roots grow down into Him, and let your lives be built on Him. And then your faith will grow strong, and the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. There's all these hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Jesus. And as we grow closer to Him, they become exposed. This is not an Indiana Jones wild goose chase of something we may or may not find. This is a passionate pursuit of a God, a creator and a savior and a sustainer and the planner of our life, who's not hiding it from us because He wants us to chase. He's simply waiting to see us pursue Him so that we can better understand. He's just waiting to give us the next step. When we say follow the plan that God has for your life, and you're like, I don't have a clue what the next step is. The reality is then, if you don't know your next step, I would challenge and ask then, how close are you walking with God? Because it becomes pretty obvious, I think, what your purpose is and what your plan is when you're walking closely with God. We've been given this freedom to walk deeply and to walk intimately with our Savior. And there's nothing that stands in between us. 2 Corinthians 3:16, I read it a lot. I love this verse. It says, whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Verse 17 says, for the Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Bondage? Captivity? There's a losing of you because you have to be constrained to this religious thing. That's what the Spirit of the Lord brings, right? What does it say? Freedom. It says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we're changed into His glorious image. As we're changed more into the image of God, then we begin to understand more of His will for our life. And some people feel like that binds them up. I don't want to be constricted to the religious thing. I don't want to be bound up by what God tells me I have to do. Here, go back to the beginning. He says, you knew me in the womb, and you knitted me together, and then you numbered my days, and then you set me apart to do certain things. I believe there's freedom in doing the things you're good at. That's what I believe. Joe, if we switch jobs for a day, it'd be bad, wouldn't it? I mean, if all you had to do is just like, well, I just couldn't do your job. You probably could do mine. I could not do your job. There'd be a lot of people leaving the mechanic shop with broke cars. It would be worse than when they came in, right? And I've actually used mechanics in Greensboro who have that same reputation. But for me, if I tried to do Joe's job, it'd be bad. It would be bad. Like, bad. He's nodding his head. Like, yes, he knows. I struggle just turning my own blinker on sometimes, much less changing my own oil. I struggle with these things because that's not what I'm good at. To me, that would be bondage to say, I'm going to go work at the mechanic shop today because that's what I want to do. That's bondage. That's being chained up in the struggle of having to do something I'm not good at. There is freedom that is found in doing the thing that I'm gifted at, doing the thing that I'm passionate about. There's freedom that's found in doing the thing that God created me to do. And so to say to follow God's will for your life is not a masterful God who's standing there and picking us up and forcing us into situations that we hate just because he's an evil, vindictive, justified God. But actually that he created us and knitted us together in our mother's womb so that one day we'd press close into him so he could reveal to us a path, then we could then use the things he gifted us and created us with to do with our life. This is the beauty of the freedom. True freedom is only found in pursuing your relationship with God. And there's this large part of our identity, I'll say it again, that's only found when we pursue God. There's a large part of who we are that's only found when we pursue God. And when you find God, then you find yourself. And I want you to know that God has big plans for you. God does. God has these big plans for you. But there's an if with that. If you're willing to walk out his will for your life. God has big plans for you if you're willing to walk out his plans for your life. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, we get this great verse. And every time I read the verse, I reference the fact that there's bumper stickers and t-shirts and refrigerator magnets, and they're all over church bulletins and bracelets. And it's an awesome verse. A lot of people claim Jeremiah 29:11 as their life verse. It's a great verse. It's behind me. You can read it. Maybe you've even got it memorized. It says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Maybe you've memorized it as, I know the plans I have for you. Says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Maybe your translation says to prosper and not fail. Verse 12 says, you'll call on me and go and pray to me and I will listen. What an awesome verse. But I want you to hear this verse and who this verse is coming from. Because Jeremiah, the prophet, when he spoke these words, he was speaking them from personal experience. He was speaking them from a personal understanding of a God who has a plan for you that even though he didn't think he was qualified, it still happened. And so by the time we get to Jeremiah 29:11, he speaks boldly, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper, plans to not fail, plans for hope and for peace. But look with me at Jeremiah chapter 1. When Jeremiah first gets the calling of God, he doesn't like it too much. I mean, Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4 said, the Lord gave me this message. I knew you before I formed you in my mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. But I believe all of us at some point have felt kind of like Jeremiah. We've all felt a little bit useless, a little bit underqualified to actually do the thing that God created us to do. I do it on a daily basis. I feel underqualified. But verse 6, God responds to Jeremiah. Verse 6, it says, O sovereign Lord, I said, Jeremiah saying, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. And verse 7, listen to God's answer. The Lord replied, don't say, I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people. Here's why. For I will be with you and I will protect you. The Lord, have spoken. You see, we hear Jeremiah 29:11 and we go, that's right. God has plans for me to prosper me and not fail me. And he has thoughts of peace and harmony and not destruction. And it's coming out of the mouth of one that when he was told specifically by, I mean, this is the voice of God. We don't get this often, right? Like we live in a world that we don't get this direct voice of God. But Jeremiah is standing there and the voice of God speaks to him and says, you're my prophet. And Jeremiah was like, nuh-uh, I'm too young. I'm underqualified. I'm not really ready for this. And God says, I'm going to be with you. So you better say what I tell you to say and go where I tell you to go because I'm going before you and I'm going to protect you. And all through Scripture, we see all these examples of people who were called and set apart from the womb. Guys like Samson, Jeremiah, we just talked about, Isaiah, John the Baptist, Paul. What about Jesus? From the womb. Set apart, gifted, and then we get to see their life played out in Scripture, that they did exactly what they were supposed to do, and most of the time they felt underqualified. They didn't feel like they were the right man or the woman, right woman for the job. But you've been appointed, and you've been set apart, and you have this unique calling that's only yours. God knows every part of you. God knitted you together so that you could be doing something amazing for His kingdom. And all these hidden treasures that lie within you, they're only going to be found when we grow closer to God. See, there's things about you that only God knows. Now, do you believe me? Because when I first said it, even to say it out loud the first time, I was like, this is an odd statement. There's things about you that only God knows. There's things about you that God only reveals along certain steps of our path. There's things about me that I get that get uncovered sometimes. And my wife, it's guys, you can testify to this. When your wife gives you a compliment, it's a big deal. And there are moments when my wife will look and go, I had no idea you could handle that kind of situation with that much maturity. Now, if I said I handle things maturely, you all look at me like, whatever. But because my wife says it, and I look and go, I did, didn't I? I didn't even know I was capable of that myself. That's amazing. I'll never be able to recreate it, but for that moment, I was in the right place at the right time and pressing towards into God so that He could reveal these things about me in certain situations, that was His plan for my day and for my moment and for my life. There's certain things about you you don't even know. Your spouse doesn't know. Your family doesn't know. They're there and they're waiting to be uncovered. In Him is hidden all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. And as we press close into God and we grow deeper in our relationship with God, He then begins to reveal these hidden treasures that are found when we grow closer to God. Because when you find God, then you begin to find yourself. And as we grow closer to God, then we can understand His will for my life. And the question might be, as we close, how then do I grow closer to God? Because that's a great church word, isn't it? Grow closer to God. You'll be okay. Let's pray and go away. And everybody leaves and they're like, oh, crud, I got to grow closer to God. But no, what does that even mean? Build a ladder? You know, like, what does that mean? Everybody run down to the fire department and climb their ladder and see if we can get how high we can get to heaven. And what does that even mean? That's a great church word. It's a great word we like to pass around. We like to say, I'm going to grow closer to God. And if I ask you to define it, you would struggle, wouldn't you? This is real. I know it's going on the podcast, but it's first service, so I can be a little more real. That if I ask you, what does that even mean? And how would you even accomplish that? How do I grow closer to God? How do I pursue His purpose? I would tell you this. I think it has less to do with your actions and more to do with your heart. I think it has less to do with your physical actions. Do you read Scripture? Sure. Do you pray? Sure. But do those things change you? I have a lot of atheist friends that read the Bible more than me. It's done nothing for them. It's a heart issue. And in Psalm 119, verse 73, I think that if our attitude and our prayer could daily be focused on just these things, these types of prayers, these types of attitude, this is what God's looking for. This will guide our actions if we can change our attitude. Psalm 119, verse 73 says, you made me, you created me. I love this prayer. Now give me the sense to follow your commands. Isn't that beautiful? Maybe it's one of those hidden gems that just goes missing in Scripture. You made me. You created me. Now give me the sense to follow your commands. This is one of my constant prayers. When I'm in the middle of something hard or something I don't understand or something that's frustrating me, God, you made me, you created me. Give me the sense to follow your commands. And then I also love to go back to Psalm 139. If you were, if you already had your finger there, go back to Psalm 139. Because as David concludes his beautiful psalm about how he was knitted together, and he was molded together, and how God had taken his days and numbered them and set them apart. His entire life had been set apart. He knew him in the day, and he knew him in the night, and in the darkness and the daylight. He finishes with this, and this is how we'll finish. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. God, you made me, you created me. Now give me the sense to follow your commands. And along this journey, you test me, try me, look deep into my heart, and then show me the things that stand between me and you. And then God, you lead me on this path that's leading me closer and closer to you. There's things about you that only God knows. And it's not because he thinks it's cool to know it and not tell you. That's what we do when we're little kids. I know a secret. God's not trying to keep secrets. He's just simply waiting for us to press hard into him so that he can reveal for us what it means to follow his path, to follow his plan. And when we find God, then we begin to find ourselves. Let's pray.